blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 61, stanzas 1 through 4. My sins and faults of youth, let them forgotten be. And for thy tender mercy's sake, O Lord, remember me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 61.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 18. But first, we may confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 18, beginning with verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was a high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Thus far.
Sing in help of the Lord. O Lord, who dost sit upon thy throne in thy glory, and we upon thy footstool, and who may hear thy word, and what has taken place now so many years ago, and when we may say, How is it possible that thy own people, who did look for thee, who did wait for thee, according to all the prophecies and the promises, and thou didst stand before them, and they did not see thee, and thou didst stand before them, and they hated thee, and they have rejected thee. Oh, how blind were their eyes, a veil over them, and even unto this very day, oh, that thou may remember that people, to take that veil away, and give them to behold who that thou art. But wilt thou take also the veil off of our eyes? For we also are so blind, as so stupefied in our deaf state, that we can stand as a congregation, as families, once again by the open graves of our loved ones. And then we leave, and we go on again, and it makes no impression. Every man going forth in his way, calling his lands after his own name, and expecting to dwell here forever. Oh, how our eyes need to be opened, our understandings. Oh, how our will needs to be changed, how that our affections need to be renewed, that we might love thee with all our heart and might and strength. Oh, grant us that new heart for which we teach our children to pray. Oh, that thou may grant us that life that returns again to our Maker and our Creator. For we also are so blind to the preciousness of thy dear Son, then we cannot see him except that he reveals himself unto us. Then the need must be born in our hearts, O Lord. Thou knowest what we are from our own side, that there is no hunger, that there is no thirst for thee, but only after all that is carnal, worldly, sinful, and passing away. And then we cannot change, O Lord, our own hearts. And then we are dead in trespasses and in sins. For this we beseech thee in this hour. And when we try to draw nigh to thee, when thy word must be preached once again, that thou may sanctify and bless that word, that it may be for the convincing of sin, that we may go out of this place different than we have come in, and that we may receive from thee that true godly sorrow, that we could not go on in our life without thee anymore. Teach us how that we have been created, how deeply that we have fallen. Show unto us our death state. Give us to cry even at death's gate, at our wit's end, having fallen down when there is none to help. Give us to cry unto thee in our trouble, that we may be saved by thee in all our distresses. Glorify and magnify in this way, O Lord, thy own name and the name of thy dear and only begotten Son. Is there any other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved? That name may be magnified in the heart of young and old together. Give the needy to see thee in all thy mediatorial beauty, in all thy sufferings, in the preciousness of thy offices and of thy states and of thy natures. That thou may open unto them the preciousness of all thy work, that they may behold thee a little through the lattice, when thou wilt show thyself. O Lord, otherwise there is no seeing, then there is no faith to believe. That thou may give it in its exercise where thou hast given it in its essence, and may thou give it also where it exists not. That thou may give new ones to be born in Zion, that gospel may go forth not only throughout the rest of this world, but when we may have it here also in our midst, and that thou would bless and sanctify that word to young and old. Look upon our children and our youth. They think to have a life before them in this world. Then we are always looking how that we can live in this world with ease and with pleasure. But, do show what we have deserved by our sin against thee in paradise. And it shall never be a paradise here below. That we may seek that foundation, that we may seek that inheritance, that we may seek to be grounded and to be founded upon a solid rock, that we may seek the things that will go with us through death. Remember all the needy. When the cares of this world, of the mind, of the body, they do lie upon men. And when there is a breaking down also of the body, and when there is a feebleness and a weakness or sickness, then it is so much more difficult to live in this life, but also to seek thee. That thou may remember such,
that thou may visit them in all their needs? And wilt thou bless the means that are used by those who do receive treatments for the body, medications for the mind? Wilt thou remember those that care for children, foster children, other children, that thou may remember them also and give that patience that is necessary, fathers and mothers? Wilt thou supply wisdom and discretion and the tender fear of thy most holy name? Remember those at war. Lord, look upon all those that have fled, refugees, leaving a home and a hearth, leaving loved ones, many mourning. Wilt thou look upon them in that place in this week? Oh, could it please thee to give a solution, that there may be a ceasing of all that bloodshed, and that thou mayest thyself give truth and right to prevail? Wilt thou remember all thy truly sent servants and the students, the missionaries, all that go forth to bring thy word in the preaching or the speaking and edifying word, that thou may bless the means? Look upon us in this afternoon. Help us, O Lord, to bring this little portion. Oh, give that it may be the time and the place of thy good pleasure for a new one to be born in Zion, at the time and place of thy good pleasure, for thy children to be fed with a word, to receive instruction, and that thou mayest look on us as a congregation in thy mercy, forgiving all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And once more, we make an announcement. A male members' meeting is scheduled for this week, Thursday, March 31st at 8 o'clock p.m. for the purpose of electing deacons. The following persons have been nominated by the consistory: Bert Grisnick, Alan Maljars, Alex Vinnie, and Alan Verhoef. Psalter 110, all three stanzas. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus told of a man who built his house upon sand, and that house fell in the storm. It was built on a foundation that was very easily washed away. That is the foolishness of the natural man, especially concerning things which are spiritual, especially concerning the need of his never-dying soul. True faith. True faith needs a solid foundation to rest on. And true faith will search also for that foundation. And when faith may attempt to stand on something that is sandy, the Lord will be certain to take it away from the people. So that sometimes they find themselves without that foundation. And then they are beginning once again to dig. Beginning once again to seek, and that they may be grounded and founded on something that is sure, something that is eternally steadfast. And the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 18. And thereof the last portion of the 35th verse. John 18, verse 35. These words, "What hast thou done?" So far the words of our text. A searching question in judgment. First, by whom it is asked. Second, to whom it is asked. And third, for what purpose it is asked. A searching question in judgment. First, by whom. Second, to whom. And third, for what purpose this question is asked. Asked, what hast thou done? By whom it is asked? Who asked that question? Children. You say, that is easy. That is Pilate. That is right. And Pilate is who? Pilate is the governor. The governor of Judea, we read. And in those days, the governor was not only the governor, but he was also a judge. Thus, we have immediately an impression of the poverty of the state or the condition of that Jewish people. They are not free. They are not ruling over themselves. David, the son of David, the children of David, they are not sitting upon the throne, but there is a heathen, and there is a Gentile that is ruling over them. Christ came to this world, to his remnant, when they were oppressed. They were oppressed nationally. That is, in a temporal way. And they were also oppressed, that remnant, ecclesiastically. They are oppressed, were oppressed even within the church. It is a very sad thing when the church is subject to the judgment of the heathen. What a blessed thing that it was when David sat on the throne, when Hezekiah sat on the throne, Jehoshaphat, and when a God-fearing man was the ruler and was the judge of that people. And now a heathen. What a sad thing. One who perhaps is himself perverting the law that judges over God's people. But that sadness is even greater when that heathen judge is in some respects more honest than the Jewish people themselves, as Pilate. Oh, does the world in any respect put us to shame? Because that is a dishonor to the name of the Lord. What hast thou done? That question may be asked in many contexts, but here that question is asked, we read, in the judgment hall. In the judgment hall. Thus, that question receives it becomes a very solemn question when it is asked in the judgment hall. Were you ever called, boys and girls, to come to your mother? To come to your father? That they may ask you that question? What hast thou done? Then you were called to come to give an account of yourself. Thus, that question that shows that we are creatures who are accountable, that shows that we are creatures who have responsibilities, that we have to give an answer for the things which we do. We read that many places in the Word of God. Where do we read that first? We read that the Lord comes in paradise to Adam. Well, then he says, "Where art thou? Give now an account of the place where you are. Hast thou eaten of the tree? What hast thou done?" This goes through the rest of time. This pertains to all his creatures. The Lord, he came unto Cain. And he said to Cain, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Give an account of your deeds." Joshua said that also to Achan. "Tell me now, my son, make confession to God. And tell me what thou hast done." King Saul, he was asked by Samuel. He said, "What hast thou done?" There is not a man in this whole world who will not at one time or other be called to answer this question, created by God with obligations to do, obligations to not do. When will we be so called? Sometimes in this life, as we mentioned, children, to your parents, to your teachers, to authorities. We have to stand before authorities in this world. A judge in the court today will not ask us this question: what hast thou done? It is actually against the law. Why? Because then a man in the court, he has to incriminate himself. He has to bear witness against himself. That is not lawful. Here in Canada. But it is going to be different when we come before the throne of God. There the Lord, he will ask us this same question. Only read what the Lord has asked Job. Then feel something of the majesty of God. And all those questions are coming forth from the Lord. And then we do not read that the Lord ceases and there is no answer from Job, one after the other. Who art thou, Job? So that Job himself, he says, how shall man be just with God? How shall man come into that judgment with God? Because if God shall contend with him, he cannot answer one question of a thousand. Thus, sometimes in this life, but certainly in that judgment day, we will have to answer this question. The congregation, the Lord, he is asking this question to his people before that judgment day. That is a great blessing. Thus, did the Lord ever ask you this question? What hast thou done? By nature, we do not receive that question. By nature, we push that question as far away from us as we can. By nature, we take our finger and we point it out to everyone else. What has he done? What has she done? What has my neighbor done? How awful are they? They are wicked. They do not understand. They do not do right. That is what Saul of Tarsus did too. He was a very religious man. In his own eyes, he lived even in all good conscience, he said. And yet he persecuted Christ, the Lord Jesus says. And then came the day that Paul says that law came. Did he not know the law? Certainly he knew the law. But he says then the law came. It came here. In his own heart. Then that law said to Saul, what hast thou done? Oh, then Saul comes on the ground. He says, then that commandment came. Did it ever come to us? It is a simple question. It is a very important question. Let us not delay to answer that question before the Lord. What hast thou done? If the Lord would come this day, oh, death creeps into the windows like a thief in the night. Like a thief. You say, children, that is a long ways away. Funerals this week, oh, they were old people. And I'm just young. Wait a moment. They're not all so old. Oh, just go down there to that cemetery. Will you go walk there through that cemetery sometime? And will you look a little and to see just how old they all are? Will you do that sometimes, young people? And will you consider this before the Lord? No, we do not all become old. And then when we have to die, then this question is going to come, what hast thou done? Where would we begin? If we had to answer today for ourselves, he is witness too, then we cannot skip over anything because he knows all that we have done. Not the least transgression, where would we begin? Oh, what does this question now open up in us? If we will begin to go back in our life, how far do we have to go back? Fathers, mothers, how far do we have to go back? And we have to answer that question before the Lord. What hast thou done? Well, we just go back a week, a month, a year? Or do we have to go back further than this? Oh, justice. What is it that satisfies justice? Time? Passage of time? So that the things that you have done in your youth, does the Lord forget about them then? Are they all gone then? We read in the days of David there was a famine. For 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord why. And the Lord says it is for the Gibeonites. Oh, there was an oath made to that people. And Saul has sought to destroy that people. When was that? It was many years before, many years ago. And now a judgment is coming. Why? The Lord has not forgotten. Oh, we forget. And we think the Lord has forgotten. And we think that because nothing has taken place concerning the sins of our youth, that they are all forgotten before God. Do you know what the Lord showed David? Always sing that. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Do you hear what the Lord is doing in the life of his people? Oh, the Lord is showing that people what justice is. He is showing unto that people that there is not one transgression that will be overlooked, but that every transgression and disobedience will receive its just recompense of reward. Did the Lord ever show this unto you in your life? What justice is. Did you ever consider that that justice is not fulfilled for you? What hast thou done? John Bunyan tried to show that in his Pilgrim's Progress, what the Lord is doing in the life of his people. That he is setting justice before the people. And then it is by that book that was in his hand. What book is that, children? That was the Bible. And it was by that book that was in his hand that he is convinced that he has to die. And not only that he has to die, but that after death, he has to stand before God in judgment. Did the Lord ever show you this? By that word of God? so that that question is coming to your soul, what hast thou done? That is so necessary in our life. Christian trembled when he thought on these things. He wept. Why? Oh, the things that he had done, they are as a burden upon his back. And then he trembled and he wept. Why? He was afraid that burden that would sink him, we read, into Tophet. He was afraid that that burden would sink him into hell. Why? Because of the things that he had done. Oh, that is the trembling of true faith. It is not always true faith, because sometimes such a trembling is just transitory. But that church is given faith. It is given faith to believe that word of God concerning that judgment. Know that last day when they will stand before God will not be the first time for the true church. It begins here below. It begins already in that regeneration when they begin to experience that they are accountable creatures. What hast thou done? By whom is that asked? That is asked by a judge. It is asked in the judgment hall. It is asked by Pilate. To whom? That is our second thought. To whom, children? To whom was that question asked? You say that was asked. That is easy. It is asked to the Lord Jesus. Yes. And who is the Lord Jesus? Well, you say the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. That is right. So who is standing there in the court? Who is standing there at the bar? God. God Himself standing at the bar of justice. Who can fathom the condescension of that most high being? What hast thou done? Christ Himself, called to an account by an earthly judge. What he has done here below. He must give an answer to that question. To the magistrate, to the viceroy of God. What hast thou done? That is not just a mere question. But there is an accusation that is couched in that question. Because he has asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Thus this is his accusation. Art thou the king of the Jews? Art thou a king? What does that mean? That means that he is being accused of trying to be the king himself, when he was not the king. He is being accused of insurrection. He is being accused of rebellion against the government, a very dangerous thing, something that must by a government be nipped in the bud. Pilate says to him, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. Can we imagine Christ being accused of perverting the people? Being accused of corrupting this people? being accused of lying to this people. That is a wicked thing. To lead people in the way of sin. Especially here in this insurrection, especially these Jews. Why? They are very prone to this. Then it is known they are looking and they are waiting for the fulfillment of the prophecies of their religion. They are waiting for that son of David. They are waiting for their king to sit on the throne, that the kingdom might come. Art thou the king of the Jews? Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? He answers him his question with a question. Is that to avoid the question? Do you do that, children, young people? Do you avoid the question of your father and your mother? You will not give him a direct answer. The Lord Jesus does not do that. No, he gives an answer by this question. By what is so very, very obvious. He says, it is very, very plain. He says, you would have never asked that question of me all by yourself. What do I look like? Do I look here like a king? Are you afraid of me, Pilate? Do I look like a person who is committing insurrection? Do I look like a person who is bringing people to rebellion? Are you afraid that I am going to rebel against Caesar? Askest thou this of thyself? The Pharisees' subversion of the words of Christ is very obvious to Pilate. He can see that so very, very clearly, even as a heathen judge. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Simple. Pilate knew it too. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. And then he goes out to the Jewish people and he says to them, I find in him no fault at all. What hath he done? Nothing. Nothing. Not a single transgression against the law. That he, then Pilate, is more honest than these wicked Jews who call themselves the children of Abraham. And yet he is a wicked judge. He was a wicked man. Superstition does not allow him. Superstition makes him afraid to release him. His wife, have thou nothing to do with that just man? He wishes to release him, but he cannot release him. Why not? Afraid, being accused himself. If thou release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Thus, political reasons. Oh, what judgment seat in the whole world. From the beginning of the creation to this day, was filled with so much wickedness as this judgment hall. Satan does not realize. Satan doesn't realize that it is in these moments that his head is being bruised. Oh, judgment was never so perverted. And at the same time, God is fulfilling his own counsel. to deliver his own people. All the wisdom, the depth of the riches of the wisdom, of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways, they are past finding out. Man does not see it. Satan does not see it. But God is fulfilling it for the sake of his church. Let us sing 157, 2, 4, and 6. 157, 2, 4, and 6. The workers of iniquity against me lie in wait. Though I am innocent, O Lord, they gather in their hate. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 157. What hast thou done? That is indeed a searching question in judgment, and it will be especially so when we are asked not by an earthly judge, but by God himself. When God will ask us, each of us, this question. Then not only what have you done, but also what hast thou not done? Think only of the parable of the talents. And then the Lord is asking with all that the Lord has given unto us, what have you done or not done with this? What hast thou done with that image of God wherein he has created us? Oh, do we ever go back to paradise with our guilt? For us, it is so often an excuse. That was the sin of Adam. Congregation, we were created in God's image, knowledge, righteousness, holiness. It is no excuse for us that we are unable. No, we also have an unwilling heart. That is an active unwillingness. Our heart desires, it looks for, it searches out that life of sin. And thus the Lord will ask us, what hast thou done with my image? What hast thou done with that spiritual life that I gave to you above all the creatures of the world? Then I gave to you desires after me alone. They are not to be found in you anymore. What hast thou done with this? Why did Peter go out and weep bitterly? Because of what he had done. Why did Paul say, of whom I am chief of sinners, because of what he had done? Because I persecuted, he says, that church of God, Joseph's brothers. They could not stand before Joseph. Why not? Because of what they had done. Congregation, can we stand before the Almighty Judge with the things that we have done? What returns this hour into our consciousness from the days of our infancy even unto this day? What will we have to say? And when we are brought to that judgment and have to answer this question, what hast thou done in deeds, in words, and in thoughts? Oh, there are so many things that men in this world have done that they wish they could undo. Undo. But they cannot undo them anymore. Will you remember that, boys and girls? Will you remember that, young people? What you do, you cannot undo anymore. Blessed are the people who have not those awful sins on their conscience throughout their whole life that are often committed in the days of our youth. Oh, when Adam would look back, then would he not say, could I only undo it? For the sake of my children and my grandchildren, all my posterity, but it could not be undone anymore. And the consequences, they were so very great. Do you not think that David had said, oh, could I only undo it? What he had done when he had numbered the people, and when he saw that angel standing with the sword drawn in his hand over Jerusalem. Oh, Lord, I have done evil indeed, but what have these sheep done? Do you not think that David would say, oh, could I only undo it? What I have done in with Bathsheba in slaying also her husband. Oh, there are so many things. Is that only with God's children that there are people who wish they could undo what they have done? No, that is so common in the world. So common in the world. That was also Judas, was it not? When he saw that Jesus was condemned. Oh, maybe he had not expected that. He thought he would deliver himself. And he would still get his gold. Could I only now undo it? But that was not possible anymore. And yet there is such a distinction between the elect and the reprobate. Why? Judas went and hanged himself. Because he could not undo it. That was an act of despair. That man was without hope. Oh, there is no man in the world that can undo these things that he has done. Every man guilty in the sight of God. There is no difference in that way. And yet there is such a difference. Wherein is that difference? Oh, there is a difference in the way of repentance. Because there is a difference between regret and godly sorrow. The world regrets indeed the things that they have done. Why? There are consequences. Consequences. And then there can be regret. Esau was denied the blessing from his father. Oh, then he regrets. But do you know what he never said? What have I now done? What have I now done in sinning against the Lord, in despising that birthright, in despising that blessing? Saul took hold of Samuel's mantle and rent it. Honor me now before the people. But do you know what he never did? He never said, what have I done? Oh, it is so different with the prodigal. We see him sitting there in that swine pit. There in that swine pit, there we read the Bible says he came to himself. That is a picture of that regenerating grace of God. He came to himself. Do you know what a man says then when the Lord brings a man to himself? Then he begins to set this question before him. What hast thou done? And then a man begins to ask himself this question. Oh, as that prodigal, what have I done? When I turned my back unto my father and from his house. That ever question ever come into your soul. What have I done when I left God? When I left him in paradise. When I turned my back unto him. Never to return to him anymore. Oh, what have I done when I have sought out all the goods and all the glory that can be found in this world? What have I done? Could that man undo it? Oh, he could not undo it. If only he could. But it was impossible. And therefore, what do we read? You read that man went out and he hanged himself? Is that what you read? We do not read that. Is there not such a great difference? He could not undo it either. But he said something that was so different. What did he say? That man's heart that began to go out after his father. If he could be just a servant in the house of his father. Do you know what he did? We read, he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say unto him, I have sinned. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will tell my father what I have done. Paul says, godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. His people cannot change it either. It is done. There is guilt. And yet they say, I will arise and go. Where does that come from? It has a ground. It has a foundation. Remember that man? He built his house on the sand. No foundation. This people, they are lying in their guilt with everything that they have done. With everything that they cannot change. And yet they say, arise and go, because the Lord shows them something. The Lord reveals something to them. Where is that foundation? Oh, there is a foundation that is lying in that searching question that came unto Christ in this judgment. What hast thou done? There is a reason that Christ stood there. There is a purpose that he has so humbled himself to stand before the bar of justice in this world. The mercy of the Father that has a foundation in the satisfaction of justice. It cannot be otherwise. You cannot change the requirements of justice. Did you ever feel that? When that question is going further and further and further back in your life. To the sins when you were 10, 7, 5 years old. There needs to be a foundation. There needs to be a satisfaction. And that same Spirit of God that is working a godly sorrow for that sin in the life of His people is showing something, the smallest part of this foundation unto this people who cannot change, who cannot undo what they have done. That is what gives them hope. That is what saves them from despair. That is what prevents suicide. That is what gives them an expectation. That is what makes them say, I will arise and go. There is nothing that would have hindered that prodigal so much as his own unworthiness for what he has done. Do you know what they need to see? Do you know what the Lord shows that people? That where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is what makes them say, I will arise and go, and I will tell him what I have done. For no other purpose did Christ stand there at that judgment bar, being questioned by the viceroy of God, the magistrate upon the earth. What hast thou done? There he is declared innocent and yet condemned. That a guilty people may be acquitted on that judgment seat of God. That is now the only reason. Will not then that guilty people, that condemned people, are they in our midst? Will they not draw near then unto him? Unto him. Shall unworthiness stand in the way? Let them come then. And let them just say, in their secret chamber, he knows it all. Let them come then. And let them just tell him what you have done, what you cannot undo, and what you wish could be undone. Let them come then as the publican, smiting upon their breast, saying, God, be merciful. Be merciful to me, sinner. And they shall be justified more than the other who says, what have I sinned? There is no forgiveness. Congregation without repentance. What shall that be? And to come to that judgment seat without repentance. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful and just to acquit all the guilty for Jesus' sake. Amen.
O Lord of heaven and of earth, there is not one of us who is not included in that guilt. Oh, could it be that there is not one of us who would not be included in that grace, that free, that sovereign grace? Oh, wilt thou bring it in our hearts? We cannot bring it in each other's hearts. Open, Lord, our sin, our guilt, but also the grace that is to be found in Thee. And what Thou hast done, when Thou hast pleased Thy Father, and when Thou hast satisfied justice for Thy people, oh, give us an insight into these most precious matters. Dismiss us with an undeserved blessing. Humble us under Thy gifts and under the help Thou hast given also in this hour. And wilt Thou help us also in the week to come? We each are given by Thee a place in this world. Give us to be faithful. Give us to be diligent, and wilt Thou strengthen each one for the labors, gather with us in a male members' meeting, and when the offices need to be filled, and that Thou may be in the midst, and wilt Thou do Thy pleasure. Help us, O Lord, as a congregation. Unite us about Thy precious truths. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362, 1, 2, and 3. And from out the depths I cry, O Lord, to Thee. Lord, hear my call. I love Thee, Lord, for Thou dost heed my plea. Forgiving all, and what follows in all three stanzas of 362.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.